Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Saved from the Penalty of Sin, the Power of Sin, and the Presence of Sin. I would like to begin reading from Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to read down from Romans verse, so Romans 3, 21 to Romans chapter 3, verse 28. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified by faith, through his grace unto redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or satisfaction through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance, very important word of forbearance, which means proof or demonstration. The Greek is parousia, and it literally means letting pass. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Whereas the boasting then, it is excluded. By what law of works may, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without deeds of the law, or nomu in the Greek testament. So Paul lays foundation here in Romans chapter 3, particularly verse 23, all have sinned, constated aorist, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here, come short means to be left behind in the race, and so fail to reach the goal. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in verse 24, being justified freely, gratis, by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Very important terms in verse 24. Justification by faith, the term grace, catis, which is a noun of action, and redemption, which means to buy back. And here depicts that of the Greek agora, and so it means one who was purchased or who has been purchased out of the marketplace of sin. So Paul's wonderful prepositional phrase is used in verse 24, in Christ. In Christ. In Christos. Within the sphere of Christ. Preposition in, once again, in the Greek New Testament, is a preposition of rest. Individual, that is the saved individual, and rest in Christ from its past due to the distress brought into his life by sin. It is very interesting that church has been challenged to truncate or ignore the reality of sin, or to truncate the meaning of sin to the point where it is utterly meaningless. And so this attempt to truncate sin as a mere theological term and not understand the heinous nature of sin and what it does to the lives of individuals has been very sad indeed. And so persons who find themselves in unexplained existential suffering have been tutored to see their suffering and to psychologize along with that certain chemicals, psychoactive chemicals that have been given to these persons in order to alleviate symptoms of existential suffering. So metaphysics for the individual are lost or put away. And the individual is looked at entirely from a medical model within certain constraints and according to a certain algorithm. The person is treated. It is the Western way. So as long as we can medicate to alleviate symptoms, then there has been a successful intervention. But persons are much more than that. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet or still sinners. Harmakuloi in the Greek, which is an adjective, not a noun, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So to understand what God has on behalf of the individual is vital. It cannot be truncated, and we cannot relegate God to the position of a mere manageable deity. What God has done is truly revolutionary. God has done truly remarkable indeed, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And a very important book written by Carl Jung entitled Modern Man in Search of the Soul, he writes these words, and this book, it is a few years old, but it is well worth reading. There is a chapter in this book entitled Psychotherapists or Clergy. Carl Jung writes this, quote, It is well known that Freudian psychoanalysis is limited to the task of making conscious the shadow side and the ego in us. It simply brings into action the civil war that was latent and lets it go at that. The patient must deal with it as best he can. Freud has unfortunately overlooked the fact that man has never yet been able, single-handed, to hold his own against the powers of darkness, that is, of the unconscious. Man has always stood in need of the spiritual help which each individual's own religion held out to him. The opening up of the unconscious always means the outbreak of intense spiritual suffering. It is as when a flourishing civilization is abandoned to invading hordes of barbarians, or when fertile fields are exposed by the bursting of a dam to a raging torrent. The World War was such an eruption which showed, as nothing else could, how thin are the walls which separate a well-ordered world from lurking chaos. But it is the same with every single human being and his reasonably ordered world. His reason has done violence to natural forces which seek their revenge and only await the moment when the partition falls to overwhelm the conscious life with destruction. Man has been aware of this danger since the earliest times, even in the most primitive stages of culture. It was to arm himself against this threat and to heal the damage done that he developed religious and magical practice. This is why the medicine man is also the priest. He is the savior of the body, soul, and religions are systems of healing for psychic illness. This is especially true of the two greatest religions of man, Christianity and Buddhism. Man is never helped in his suffering by what he thinks for himself, but only by revelations of a wisdom greater than his own. It is this which lifts him out of his today, this eruption of destructive forces has already taken place and man suffers from it in spirit. That is why patients force psychotherapists into the role of a priest and expect and demand of him that he shall free them from their distress. That is why we psychotherapists must occupy ourselves with problems which, strictly speaking, belong to the theologian. But we cannot leave these questions for theology to answer. The urgent psychic needs of suffering people confront us with them day after day. Since, as a rule, every concept point handed down from the past off. We must first tread with the patient the path of his illness. This is a fundamental assumption. Those are my words. The path of his mistake that sharpens his conflicts and increases his loneliness till it grows unbearable. Hoping that from the psychic depth which cast up the powers of destruction, the rescuing forces also. And then, well, unquote, and then he goes on, that is, Jung goes on to speak about instinctive defense mechanisms And he prefaces his comments about instinctive defense mechanisms. He writes, quote, "To put it in scientific terms, instinctive defense mechanisms have been developed which automatically intervene when the danger is greatest and their coming into action is represented in fantasy by helpful images which are ineradicably fixed in human psyche," unquote. And notice he prefaces this statement by using or stating that same scientific terms. What is immediately relevant to us in this particular chapter entitled Psychotherapist Clergy, the understanding of the fundamental need and the fundamental nature of persons. People need to know that their lives mean something, that their lives matter. And the cross has made this most evident, that God willingly gave his son for all mankind is the message of the cross. And that true guilt for what one has done to oneself and what one has done to others can be done away with in Christ. It is the message of salvation that guilt is real, and that all individuals are accountable for his or her action. In the Old Testament, there are even certain words that carry suffix that speak consequences, whether good or bad. That reality is carried on also in the language of the New Testament. Paul writes that whatsoever one a man soweth, that shall be also reaped. And so Paul writes in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Then in verse 24 he writes, "Being justified or made being made right before God freely, gratis by his grace, or by his acceptance through the redemption that is in Christ." Verse 25, "Whom God has propitiation through his seal, through faith in the propitiation in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission for Jesus, letting path of sin and of the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." And so Paul goes on to state in his letter to the Galatians, individuals who are in Christ may be free from the power of sin. In Galatians 5:16, he writes, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that nature of man demands the healing of God. And God begins to bring the individual wages of sin is death, or is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ. Sin is lack of conformity to the character of God. So there is that intimacy, there is that relationship that man has with God, and that he became estranged from God through sin. It is when the individual comes to full confession of his sin, that is, telling God what he has done, acknowledging that he is in need of a Savior, that his conscience can be cleansed, that his will, which may have been fashioned around certain sin patterns, because sin is about bondage, sin is about darkness, sin is about death. Persons who have given themselves over to certain patterns of sin, such as persons who are in bondage to sex, do not realize that the destructors of the mind, of the destructors of the brain, have been fashioned around that activity, and that addictions are difficult to break. But God gives power to break addiction. And the most formidable definition that I have found with regard to addiction is found in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 4. And in his message in his hometown synagogue, Jesus speaks about those who have been taken captive at the point of the spear. Addiction needs to be taken captive at the point of the spear. It means be a captive or a prisoner of war. Now, I note carefully the language that is used by Jung, this writing. Then I think about the language that Jesus uses with regard to this condition. I note that Jesus does not use the term scientific. But Jesus uses that are indeed decisive and compelling and substantive. And remarkably accurate. Said in that same passage that he has come to heal those who are shattered in heart. Is that interesting? Those whose hearts have been shattered. God will heal. God will restore the ravages of sin. God will make new. The creation account given in Genesis chapter 1 is also about what God will do to the heart that is kosher, or incredible darkness, that darkness that can't be felt, the Hebrew word. Genesis 1, God said, like be very terse, but then there is the creative activity that accompanied the speech act. Like be, like love. God speaks his life into the heart that was ravaged or is being ravaged by darkness. we are saved, that is, believing ones are saved from the power of sin through the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, Paul writes, much more than being now justified or made right with God by his blood on the blood of Christ. We shall, that is, collectively, we shall be, should you pass it, we shall, that is, we shall receive from God. We shall be saved from the word sozo, to be rescued from wrath for him. Verse 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved, again, future passive, by his life. Scripture tells us that we have been saved from the penalty of sin, his death. We are being saved from the power of sin, and we shall be saved from wrath, that is, from the orge of God. Through the living Christ. Salvation that God speaks of, saves a man or saves a woman, a child from themselves. And God gives freedom. God gives grace. That is the real meaning of that wonderful term, caritas. God gives acceptance so that individuals may find rest in the beloved. God's gift. Is this the God's answer? If you get a chance, please read the second chapter of Ephesians. Read about God's great work. Paul writes also in Romans chapter 5, verse 11. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. There is a change of state so that we can enjoy the freedom that God gives. My name is Dr. Cy Ridge. I will speak with you next time on Pneumaticos. And if you find that this ministry is blessing you, please go to cyridge.com and leave a donation for this ministry to continue this work. God bless you and have a wonderful day.